How to get a deal with the Chinese government.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects the United States. The European Union today has unveiled a new trade plan, a major piece of which focuses on China. Now, Europe wants to convince Beijing to allow more foreign companies to bid on Chinese government contracts, a tough task for Europe and for the United States, as Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
China insists it gives foreign companies unfettered access to bid on contracts like those for state-owned enterprises and local government projects. But the country has refused to sign an international treaty that requires a more open bidding process. That's frustrated U.S. corporations who would love a piece of China's gigantic government contract pie. But for years, companies interested in bidding on public contracts in China were required to register their trademarks in China. James McGregor, author of 1 Billion Customers, says you might as well give the Chinese the blueprints to your product.
I talk to a lot of senior executives, and I've talked to a number of CEOs of tech companies in the last 6 months. And they may still be smiling when they come to Beijing, but behind closed doors, they're reassessing their business. Because it's no longer, will you lose your technology in the China market? It's now, will you lose your technology in the China market? And it'll come back and could destroy some of your businesses globally. That's the worry.
Because of China's policies, few foreign companies end up bidding on government contracts, leaving billions in potential revenue out of reach. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
The head of British Airways has attacked what he calls completely unnecessary airport security checks. It's, of course, where you take off your shoes or your belt in the security line. Well, the airline chief says the UK should stop kowtowing to U.S. security demands. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Why does he say these measures are unnecessary?
Because he says airport scanning equipment can now easily detect suspect materials that may be hidden in shoes or in clothing. His remarks reflect a general view among European airlines and airport operators that, as aviation consultant Laurie Price suggests, some of the security measures are frankly a waste of time.
Particularly when you see somebody, say, of 80 plus going through these things with this rather undignified thing of taking off belts, taking off shoes or whatever. Come on, let's start being a little more sensible about how we approach this whole process.
The BA chief also said that the practice of having laptops removed from bags to be checked separately should be ditched. He pointed out that laptops are now often being treated differently from iPads, such as the muddle over these security checks.
And the US, Stephen, is being blamed for a lot of these security measures?
Well, he is blaming the UK government in particular for what he calls kowtowing to the US, rushing to implement every measure the US calls for, even when the US doesn't impose all these checks consistently on its own domestic flights. The BA chief says he wants more consistency and a simpler, more rational approach to airport security.
All right, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Global stocks are a bit off today. Shares are down in Asia and Europe. Uncertainty over the U.S. Federal Reserve program to pump more money into the financial system hit stock values, but boosted the dollar. Wall Street yesterday, the S&P was flat. The Dow tacked on 5 points to close at 11,169.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. By The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at The Economist online. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com.
The midterm elections are all about jobs, and this week we're taking a look at the future of some careers. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Adrian Hill introduces us to today's fastest-growing field.
When you consider the jobs of the future, here are two of the big trends driving growth. Baby boomers who want more health care and technological progress. Biomedical engineering is a career at the intersection.
This is really kind of cutting-edge, innovative.
Roger Moncarz is an economist with the Bureau of Labor Statistics. He says jobs for biomedical engineers are expected to grow 72% by 2018. The job also pays well. The median salary is nearly $80,000. But Moncarz points out the profession is in its infancy.
In percentage terms, it's impressive. In numeric terms, it's less impressive because it's only adding about 12,000 new jobs.
Those thousands of biomedical engineers could create the next device, procedure, or body tissue that spawns other jobs, manufacturing, sales, marketing. Dr. Ishiro Nishimura shows me around his lab at UCLA.
Many things are harmful chemicals, so I want you not to touch things.
Researchers have been over test tubes, hard at work. Their long-term hope is to help people who've lost part of their face due to accident or oral cancer by
remaking patients' face using their own tissues.
They want to grow facial tissues outside of the body and then transplant those tissues. Nishimura thinks graduates trained in both biology and engineering at one of the growing number of biomedical engineering programs around the country could make the idea a reality.
New scientists, they may feel that this is a workable goal, and they can create that.
Researchers at Wake Forest University in North Carolina are already growing hearts and bladders, possible replacement parts for baby boomers who want to stick around and see all these tech-inspired dreams come to life. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
Hey, check out marketplace.org for our handy tool. We call it the Future Jobs-O-Matic. Really cool tool. And finally, a new survey says more than half of small company executives expect their employees to steal something of value in the next year. A far lower percentage reported actual thefts in the last 5 years. Insurer Chubb surveyed hundreds of firms. 54% of those executives say they expect workers to steal money, equipment, or supplies. I'd finish telling you this story, but I have to go look for the printer that mysteriously disappeared. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
There are some proposals out there for serious cuts in the American economy, folks. Big stuff, too, like, a 35-hour work week?
The basic idea is that there's a pool of work that needs to get done. If I do a little less and my colleagues do a little less, we can hire someone else.
I'm Kai Rizdal, creating jobs by sharing the wealth, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.